our everyday lives, if we look at our everyday lives, there is a very common action, a very general and common action. And we see this prevalent: fighting, quarreling, arguing, and disputes, clashes, friction, differences between each other. What's the reason for this? What is the reason for all of this? What happened? You ask, why did you argue? Why did you quarrel? Oh, but I was walking along and I was going straight in the car. I was driving straight, and from behind he horned me. He horned at me. He put his horn down, and I became angry, and I stopped the car, and I got out, and then I grabbed hold of him, and I started fighting him. Rage. Then another person, you ask him, why are you arguing? Why are you quarreling? Why is there a clash? No, nothing at all. I was just standing to one side. He walked past me, and he barged me, and I got angry, so I grabbed him. I grabbed hold of him. These are the reasons for fighting. I came home, and as soon as I got inside, my wife, I said this to her, and she answered me in a cold way, and I got angry. I grabbed her. And wife, she also will give the same response. And I said this to him, and he didn't understand. Then I got angry, then I did this to my husband. So behind all of this, there's a common reason, you could say, or factor, which is I became angry. I got angry. In other words, home quarrel, outside quarrel, small argument, big argument, fight. To this extent, we see that people go to the extreme of killing the other person or murdering. Oh, I got angry. He was swearing at me. I became angry. I sought revenge and I hit him and he died. So this is a common sort of response you'll get. General, whether there's fasad, fighting, quarreling, divorce, home, family, outside, amongst human beings, then there's one common denominator reason for the fasad. Oh, I just got angry. I lost control. If you take the losing control out, there'll be no fighting, quarreling, no fasad, no murder, no divorce. All of the heat and tension will reduce to minimum or zero. So in the world of akhlaq, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the very important lesson of humanity, and that was akhlaqi husna. And the first lesson, number one of akhlaqi husna, we take the book of akhlaqi husna, the best conduct of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then lesson number one is with regards to anger. All fasad starts with anger. Who was angry first? Who lost control first? Shaitan, remember, he lost control first. When in the Quran, Allah mentions that Allah ordered everyone to prostrate, and he became angry. And me? I should prostrate to Adam? How can this be? So this defect, this is the biggest sign of our azim, greatest enemy, Shaitan, who was the first to become angry. And when a person gets angry, when Shaitan sees that the man's angry, or the woman's angry, yes, this is my customer. My client, over a small thing, we get angry, we'll increase it, keep on increasing it to this extent that in anger, he says that person, I play with a human being who is angry, Shaitan says, just like children play with a football. So the football is akin to the angry person, and Shaitan plays with that person. But the person who, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, controls his anger, then he has got akhlaq in control. In anger, swearing, and hasad, and envy, and jealousy, and revenge, all the whole line, the queue of mistakes are made due to anger. The result, the consequences of anger are severe and wrong and incorrect. And then what happens? The insan after that, he regrets immensely after the event. And the regrets on his face, oh, if only I wasn't angry, I wouldn't have done this wrong action. Because anger is jais, and it's also not jais, it's permissible and impermissible. There is also a permissible anger because it's natural. Allah has put it in our fitrah. And there is anger which is acceptable, and mostly we see the negative effects. But anger can also be permissible. Now, jais, permissible, gusa, is not anger. It's not anger. These are controlled emotions and strong feelings. For example, if you want to do islah of a child, So you'll have to pretend that you're angry, for example. Yeah? You'll have to make a bit of a frown. But inside, your feeling won't be of anger or ghadab or severe heat. No, you'll be controlling it. Or, for example, you want to give somebody a bit of a push, bit of a jolt, then you'll have to act a little bit from inside. You'll have to show, demonstrate that I'm in a lot of anger. Why? Because many times over, islah, rectification, is done due to anger, not through nasiha or slow advice. For example, our mashayikh akram, respected mashayikh, their anger is not anger. It's not anger. But it looks as if they're angry, they're in a ghazab, or they're enraged, because they need to do islah. Correct that person who's done wrong. So there is a permissible anger and an impermissible anger. And the sign of the permissible anger, and what's the sign of impermissible anger? Where there will be permissible anger, yes, you can say halal, permissible, lawful anger, then there will be a certain sign that after that anger, the results will come out very positive, subhanallah. Very positive effects of the anger. In other words, that if you pretend and you show or demonstrate anger, you wanted to explain something, then that result will come out positive and the effect will come about. For example, a child understands, the student understands, the teacher has two types of anger. Sometimes they also have the second type of anger and it gets mixed, contaminated, because they can't control it. You'll start. Yes, obviously, there becomes something, for example, they don't maybe get anger out of love. So jaiz, lawful anger, is where there's love and natural emotion and feelings, and naturally inside the heart of the teacher, he has the feelings, the love, shafiq. The ustad was a lot of shafiq and love, because naturally, he didn't have the shafqat, he didn't have the love inside. But some ustads, sometimes the children become old and say, my ustad, they do dua in their salah for their teacher. That due to your barakah, today I'm reading Quran, due to your love I'm reading tafsir, and they do duas for their teachers. But there was shafqat, love. There was love and affection inside the teacher's heart. So, this is such an emotion, anger, an effect. What we have to understand, this is lesson number one in tasawwuf. Lesson number one. Yes, those who do dhikr, me and you, both. So if we do dhikr with defects, there's no benefit, is there? Then it's a waste. It's a waste. So we need to eliminate these defects so they can come out of us, from within us. So we need to emphasize more on these things. These factors need to be eliminated. Anger that we're discussing. Lesson number one, to elevate and improve our akhlaq. Otherwise, to please Allah, we can pray salah, do talawat, recite Quran, we do other things in the day, we do tasbihat. But to please Allah, those points, those actions, that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, that this is the greatest quality of your manners and conduct, and this becomes a high level ibadah of yours in the eyes of Allah, to Allah Ta'ala. And today in this generation, it's totally gone away. We have temporary things or physical apparent things, and in homes we hear, if for example you speak to the woman of the house, she says, oh, forget this, all he's doing is praying salah, etc. I can't tell you the rest about his life. The women say this, the women folk. Oh, forget it. If I tell you about him, somebody finds out, then he'll come and complain to me. Hazrat, please don't tell my husband. Oh, I'll tell you, but please don't tell him, please. Otherwise, I'll get told off. I'll get pressure. That his beard has reached to his knees, and he's got long kameez, and he's got the sheet around his body. He's got and looking pious, but inside the house, akhlaq. Oh, so they let the cat out of the bag. They explain, and they say to others, oh, we know what deendar people are like. So this becomes a dark shadow of the deen, that those people who know your apparent external life, they say, no, that person's wrong. But, for example, following the sunnah, etc., they start to dislike it. They said, these type of people, they're like this. They're in our martial and our society, I'll tell you the truth, such an excuse has been created for not practicing deen. This is an excuse that we've got in our hands now, in our minds. Oh, look at those good people. Why do you look at the bad people, they say? Those who haven't got good manners. Look at good people as well, though, isn't it? Don't give the example of bad people. You're saying this person's bad, call him bad. We will also say that person's bad. We won't elevate that person, promote them. So look at those who have good conduct, good manners, good practice. But what we need to think is that may Allah forgive If I am that insane, may I not be that person? If people see me and say, oh, he's got a dirty deen, he's not a good person, he's not right. We need to think about ourselves individually. We have nothing against anyone, so I should think about myself. May not be by Allah that people look at me and they go away from the deen, they dislike my libas or my shakal or my face, or that this woman, she does parda, but look at her tongue, how she lets it loose and how she deceives her husband or other people in her home. She's always making a storm brew and arguments, etc. People go against the deen when they see someone who's practicing but he hasn't got good conduct. So we have to protect the deen. Over and above, we have to even have to go and beg to show people so that the deen of Islam is not ridiculed or disrespected due to us. Even if we have to go and grab the shoes of that person, we should do that. Because in the eyes of Allah, Allah says that person will get great thawab. Over and above, big acts of worship. Big ibadat. Okay, fine, you can't pray tahajjud in the night. You can't recite Quran, you can't do extra nawafil actions, lengthy wazifas, lengthy lessons. You can't go on hajj every year. If you've done one hajj, you say, alhamdulillah, that's enough for me. That's it. No problem. But this subject of akhlaq, conduct, you are very cautious and careful, and you tread carefully that this deen I'm protecting, I've come back from hajj. I don't want to dishonor hajj. I don't want to dishonor my umrah and my face and appearance. I don't want people to make excuses. Oh, I've seen a person who is so-called practicing, but he's not a good person. Because I want to represent Islam. The Muslim is representing Islam amongst his relatives, people in the world. For example, who are you connected with? I am bayah with this sheikh. I'm the student of this sheikh. So the sheikh's name comes, and then they see the first and foremost, the insan, when he looks at, he won't look at your tahajjud, he won't look at your mihrab, the sign of your prostration, your face. Rather, what will he look first? That look at his akhlaq, his conduct, his manners, his approach. How much does he commit fraud? How much does he sign wrong on the dotted line to expose his weak points, that this people, so-called practicing Muslims, they're deceitful, they're deceptive, and they're cheating others, and we are correct. So they look for the holes and the gaps. And when Allah gives the tawfiq to people, just like I'm seeing here, mashallah, all of you wear imama, practice the sunnah, you have beards. This is the fadl of Allah. Allah's grace, alhamdulillah. And what a great name Allah has given to us, to you. Then this day and age, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's deen and sunnah with istiqamat, steadfastness in this day and age, in this country, to wear the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam libas and to look like him and have the appearance like him, nobody can imagine how great an achievement this is. Because when a person, he starts, he doesn't realize that what a great action he's implementing. The Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are earning his happiness and pleasure, and you have got luggage for the hereafter to get the pleasure of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Putting the imam on, my brothers, is a very difficult action. Very difficult. I'll tell you the reality. Today, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dhoti, to wear it is very difficult. People will give up everything, sacrifice everything under the sun, but they cannot lengthen their beard. They'll do 10 hajj, but they can't keep the beard the proper length. And the libas is even beyond that. Thousands of excuses. You live in this day and age, this generation, morning and evening. Like dunya has become a small little point. Put the internet on, and for example, you see thousands of alims and so-called scholars and their faces and fatwas to do wrong. People, within 5 minutes, they can give you guidance, the wrong guidance to do wrong. So Allah Ta'ala has made and given us a form of guidance and a measurement gauge and a demonstration. The Allah Ta'ala said that there's one example for you. It by Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam for success in this world and the hereafter. There's no other guidance in this practice, in this path. There's no two ways. Quran, Hadith, the whole Deen of Islam has this guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's mustanad. There's no two ways. Ittiba'i Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a must. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah and his Sharia is one clear path. And in this, there's no excuse that we can implement. Nothing that we can put forward to make excuses. Doesn't matter which angle you come from towards the deen, whichever kitab you open, whichever maslak, whichever fiqh school, whichever imam you study, whichever sahabi you look at in his life, the story ends at the same place, that we were obedient to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we become yours. His deen is the established way. There's no other way. Whether it's tasawwuf, ilmiyat, knowledge, muhaddithin, hadith, whatever source of knowledge, end of the day the river flows out into the ocean of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, and it doesn't flow anywhere else. So Naqshbandis, that the initiation of your deen, and you get that sunnah practice as the initial, and after bringing Allah Ta'ala's name onto your hearts and remembering Allah, and allows you to keep the appearance of the sunnah. We cannot imagine, there's no differentiation, where do I live, what country am I in, what am I doing as a job, occupation. Everything comes out from the nafs and the heart, and you practice the natural way of life. Wherever you're going, sitting, going to your shop, business, so you ain't worried that who are you looking like and what are you doing, wearing, who are you imitating? Subhanallah. Subhanallah, the hard lesson in a certain day and age. It would have been difficult. Allah Ta'ala stated that to practice the sunnah in this day and age is as hard as holding hot burning embers and coal in hand. The Sahaba Ikram, when they heard this hadith, they were shocked. The whole deen they knew hinged on the sunnah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that to practice the sunnah, such a day will come, it will be so difficult as if you're holding hot coal burning embers in your hands. And whoever's attained this deen, the appearance, the face, the look, the libas, the attire, he's got the whole deen. And all that's left now is that shaitan and nafs. We need to save ourselves, protect ourselves from their attacks. Always, every second. And look towards the hadith and Quran. That the biggest chapter of the deen is akhlaq. And lesson number one of akhlaq is anger. We need to control this. That I'm working hard. I practice the sunnah. I don't want it to be wasted in the hereafter. Everything that I've done may not be that it goes and flows into the drain, down the drain, and I don't get nothing from it. No. All the actions I've done. Because everything is attained through effort. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran that I have no basis, I have no, for example, criterion where I differentiate Pathan, Siddiqui, Farooqi, and he's from this person, Sayyid, Ahaya, he's higher because he was attached to this, etc. He'll get more. This is not the standard. Allah said, whoever attained anything, whoever received anything, whoever got close to Allah, it was because he broke his nafs, crushed his desires and got close to Allah. Allah Ta'ala says here that, oh, for example, how much has he fought against his nafs, etc. In the path of Allah, how much has he lowered himself, humility, humbleness? No. We look at other things. No, Allah has selected him. He's from this family, etc. No. Forget such people who speak like this. There's no classification in Islam based on color or creed or line, etc. Allah Ta'ala is saying, oh Allah, you selected him, he's Sayyid, and I am not a Sayyid. We complain, Zalims, look here, that every individual that was my Hazrat, was he Sayyid, Farooqi, Siddiqui? He was a normal person. He was a farmer. He was a farmer. Tell me that how many people from my pious predecessors, Mashayikh, can I present to you their names? Allah said that these, I don't allow the deen to progress due to tribes and due to groups. And Rasulullah even warned his daughter, the Imli Fatima, don't think that you are the daughter of the Prophet. Everyone is to arrive to their qabr. Oh Fatima, remember, practice Imli Fatima, Imli. This is the example that the Holy Prophet gave to us by his own family. That those people who are... Have been deceived. It's shaitan who has deceived them. They themselves are shaitan, and they are trying to bring other people to shaitanith way. They are, oh, we've been oppressed, I've not done nothing wrong, and if only I was like this, if only I was part of this, etc. If only I had this status. Look at the history of Islam. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, did he have a link with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq? Did he have a relationship with Hazrat Umar, with Hazrat Uthman? No, he was ghulam. He was a servant. And when he will wake in the hereafter, he will be the ghulam in front of everybody. Subhanallah. And everybody will be left behind. The ghulam, the servant of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he will be first. And he will have taken the reign. And he will enter into paradise before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Holding the reign. And in Islam, there's no differentiation based on color or background, etc. It's taqwa, fear of Allah. So what do we need to do? What effort do we need to make? What effort do we need to make? Suppress the desires. We lie down on our beds, we say, I'm lying down, I'm enjoying myself, and I cannot control. Can you not control yourself when you do wrong actions? Can you not stop your hands when they do dirty actions? Can you not protect your bodies when they do impure things? No, we can't do this. The Jibreel might come to the skies and tell us, but what about those people who worked hard? They didn't need reminding by the angels, and we criticize them. So all of these things we need to understand. Success for success. If you really want to be successful, then we have to control our desires, work hard. And this is working hard on the desires. Anger, control it, suppress it. Look how severe is anger. A sahabi came, a companion, this is a hadith of Mishkat. As Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith. And Rajulun, there was an individual, he came, and Rajulun, and he came and he was present and he presented to the Prophet ﷺ a question. He requested that, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please give me some nasiha, advice. What a great hadith, huh? great hadith, that he wanted to have a great life and a great ending in the hereafter. And he was asking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not some normal person, and it's not that he knew he was speaking to, he knew that my words, that they won't just stop here, the words that have come from my tongue, but until Qiyamah, this will be a message for the Ummah. He knew. They were aware, the Sahaba Ikram, say Subhanallah. He didn't just think about himself, that I'm speaking to the mic, and people think they've just got a mic and the words just go to the speaker and they'll be delivered to those who are sitting and listening. He was the Nabi, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until Qiyamah, his words will continue. He knew that whatever I speak, this will be preserved and spread until Qiyamah, judgment day for all the people of the world. And see, today you're sat in Bolton, you're listening to this hadith, aren't you? How it's coming. That Sahabi, at that time, many centuries ago, asked the question. He didn't know that my words going to be delivered to such people across the world. But qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, continue. This hadith has arrived to Bolton. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and Rajul qala, and Rajul Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the hadith. Awsani ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please advise me, give me some nasiha. These are the words of the hadith. He came and he sat down, just like today, if we sat there and listening live. The Sahaba Ikram heard. And can anyone say that this did not occur? Of course it occurred. Now, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look how he selected. Look how he responded. He could have given any response. The praise salah, salli. Isn't salah a great action? Of course it is. Mawlana Sahib, isn't it? Yes. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have said, fast. Is there any other greater nasiha than this? Fast. Of course. Great advice. But there are so many subjects within Islam, the deen of Islam, that at that time, that companion, Rasulullah could have explained to him in a different way and given a different response. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew, I'm telling my whole ummah that my biggest nasiha will be to tell the response, the answer to him, that do this, X, Y, Z. And we'll all think, oh, we're lucky because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prescribed and told us. So what a very great and important message that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given him, that he selected one response from the whole of the deen of Islam. We forget it. And then we say that, oh, we want to become successful, we should forget this nasiha. Can we forget this? How can we forget this? Tell me. How can we? Impossible. It should never be the case. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said one thing, la yaktab. Allahu akbar. La yaktab, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Immediately after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said more, la yaktab. And then farda. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't just stop there when he said that. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept on repeating that what should happen after that. He kept on repeating the importance. In other words, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized the importance of this learning. What? What was the learning? Don't become angry. Save yourself from anger. Don't become angry. Save yourself from anger. Repeatedly. What a great learning. What a great teaching. How much loss will be incurred and earned. Like I give the example, oh, I just got angry, I gave divorce. Oh, she came in front of me, I got angry, and she spoke loudly to me, I got angry, and I did this to her. And then he came to buy some stock, something from me, he spoke to me in a bit of a rigid way, firm way, and I got angry. So big nasiha here for the mu'min, that how dare you? Don't take revenge out on someone. No, don't be angry. Don't show your anger. And we, on every word, every phrase, various times, several times, thousands of times, show today, for example, somebody stops the car, parks to come in. What's happened? No, I was just parking the car and he came next to me and parked. And I got angry. So from today, let's promise that we will not bring this word onto our tongues. I got angry. I lost control. This is the work of shaitan. It's not my job to become angry, is it? Never. Not me. I won't become angry. I won't get angry. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you understood and follow what I'm saying? After today, these words should not come on our tongue. This is pride. You say, Nengra, that I'm such a high level person, and Shaitan told me this, that I got angry and he's parking next to me, or he's opposing me or clashing with me. Even a young child, then we should never say this from our mouths, that I got angry with this child. I got angry with this child. Because Shaitan, he did these actions of anger. Never should we get angry. That a mu'min can never be angry. Never. Yaktab. The question doesn't arise. What should the insan do? That he should become angry with somebody else. That, for example, if you're explaining to the student, never say that I got angry. Say I'm giving nasiha. I'm explaining. And that this is my style of explaining. That the slap I gave was to explain, to teach, not to be angry. Say Subhanallah. That, for example, your wife, You won't be angry, you'll explain. There's a big difference between the two. If you become angry and show your anger, vent your anger, then there'll be divorce. But if you explain to the wife nicely, then there'll be love that comes. SubhanAllah, there cannot be argument. It's a big difference. Cannot be no arguments in the home. So if we take this word out of our dictionary, and out of our glossary and dictionary, that this word is not in our dictionary, that the mu'min Muslim can never be angry with somebody else. Allahu Akbar. Oh, he was my boss. He was my boss. He gave me this work to do. And I become angry. And if this happens, then don't become angry. Rather, what should we do? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. That all praise is for Allah. And Allah has all power. And everything that's happening is with Allah Ta'ala's permission. It's His decision. So who am I to get angry? So this is the cure that we need to follow. That when anger comes, then رجوع إلى الله. Focus onto Allah. Because such a condition is about to come, that I'm about to get angry. So stop there. Suddenly say, no, this is not me. I shouldn't be like this. Allah Ta'ala has given this condition to me. This must be a rahmah, a mercy. I need to improve myself and get rid of this anger. But, for example, that we see someone, oh, as soon as I see his face, I get angry. As soon as I see his face, I get enraged. Astaghfirullah. And he's got such a big tasbih. Subhanallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And he's sitting on the prayer mat speaking, especially women. The women folk. Ah, I don't want to see her face. You know, my noor, this relative, and she's sitting at home with her tasbih. Since she's come, khabees, wretched person, she's got fitna. She's brought to the house, this woman. Astaghfirullah. She's sitting on tasbih and reciting Allah's name. Allahu Akbar. So is this the sign of success, my friends? Tell me, is this? So just since that person's come into my life, or he's come here, he's given me loss and negativity. Since he's come in our madrasa, this happened. Since she's come, this has happened. And we curse people, we complain. That's why people say, the people who are not Muslims, they say that Islam teaches the pure deen, and your practice is in opposition. I was surprised with one person, that it was some years ago, and he used to come to clean the windows from the outside, yeah? The window cleaners. And do we take note of who is it, who's come to clean the windows? Well, just think, oh, it's someone who's come to clean the windows. And maybe due to some reason, 1 week, 2 weeks, he didn't come, I didn't see him, or he came and I didn't see him, or he came and I came out. I mean, we didn't cross paths. So 2 weeks later, when we met, and he smiled and he said to me something. And he said, until today I've not forgotten. I think 10 years have passed and I remember what he said. SubhanAllah. What a great statement he said, SubhanAllah. Learning from us. He said to me, that you're a Muslim. I said, yes, Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim. He said, we heard that your Nabi said that if a person, when he works, before the sweat dries, you should pay him. And then he started to smile. Oh. Today, who doesn't remember this hadith? Who doesn't? But a person who is not a Muslim, he's away from the deen, he remembered this statement. I said to him, you know our correct deen and everything. And I said, I didn't see you, I was out, you were inside, or you were here and I wasn't here. Now you've reminded me, I appreciate that. I really like what you've said. What a beautiful statement you've told me. That what a great human being, that you know these things. So then you must apply this to your life, because we have left this. Allahu Akbar. That we know how to make people cry, that we squeeze them into a corner and give your money. How much people have taken money, whether it's, I say this to today's businessmen, they enjoy taking people's money, sit on it, oh, take his money, grab it, suppliers, sit on their money, don't pay them back so that they're under us, and hide his money. Begherat, is this a life? Is this deen? That you suppress people's money, you sit on people's money, you don't pay them on time. I give you nasiha, advice. Look, that where is your salah, your ibadat, your worship? There's somebody's money and unlawfully you're sitting on it. You're consuming it. A person who was away from the deen, he reminded us, so they all know that those people of the beer, the imamas, such places I've heard their words where I was. Allahu Akbar. Because I saw them very closely. Obviously, that time I was stuck. Isn't it? So I used to sit and listen to them. What are they saying about us? How are they speaking about us? Openly, they would say. Openly. They knew everything. They said, ah, it's all a drama. We know all these people. And I can't say the names, because they might turf me out of the masjid as well. They used to say openly, they knew, I know this person, that person. What do they do? What does he do? Etc. And he claims wrongfully, and fraudulently, wallahi, I tell you, they used to say this. They say, oh, he's the same man. We know all these people, what they do. He's the same category. Watch what happens to him. Watch what comes out of his house. Allahu Akbar. They all do haram. They deceive people. And sitting in the masjids, these were their words. while they were speaking about Muslims. And I'm not lying, isn't this the case? They say, oh, they're like that. Look how many people are running after them, and they claim to be pious, but we know the actions they do. And after a week, that same person was running after me. He said, no, he's not that what we thought the Muslims are. No, you're not like that. He's not like that. And they would take me to my home. Assistance. So they know that what is deen. And they know today the Islam that's being practiced today in the world. They say that we know this is not the deen that the Quran and the Sunnah has given to us. If only say, ooh, ameen, ameen, du dua, that may Allah Ta'ala make us true Muslims. How can it be that Islam doesn't spread? How can it not be that Islam doesn't spread? Just a few days ago, you hear that person who was swearing for so long, he's become a Muslim now, hasn't he? Has he not become a Muslim? That behind him, everyone ran after him. They look him. He said, print this and print that and say this and say that. He's become a Muslim. This is the news from yesterday or a couple of days ago. Yes, he must have seen the character of a Muslim and that somebody's alive. They're not all like me, are they? There are good people around. He must have seen someone honest and said, oh, this religion is correct. We were doing wrong before this. And we shouldn't dishonor them or disrespect them. He felt that. He acknowledged that. So, because we are representing the deen, Allah is going to say, imama, beard, libas, attire. So we have to be very careful, rather than give people excuse to speak nonsense. Oh, no, it's not the case. They're shaitans. Those people, they'll stand tomorrow in the court of Allah. They'll be us, those people who played with the games with the deen and dishonored people, disrespected people following the sunnah. So correct yourselves, follow the path of deen, follow sharia. And stop doing wrong actions and stop usurping the rights of others and suppressing their rights, etc. Allah Ta'ala says that I will grab you tomorrow due to your burqa, due to your covering. So people were in awe of you, or they opposed you. People saw your beard and your libas and they opposed you because they saw people when you stand and did wrong. And you used to suppress people's money or hide their money or eat their money, and they'd swear at you and your sheikh and your silsila would get the feedback. What answer will you give that time? What answer will you give? So, such people who fall into this category, they are representing the deen. The most important factor here is that don't become angry. Lesson number one. So today, let's promise. And I take a promise from you. Do you all promise? Inshallah. Yes, calm down, soften down. We're not the same as others. My Hazrat said that you are a white piece of cloth. My Hazrat said this. Babu, you're a white piece of cloth. You're not a dark piece of cloth. You are dirty. Allah has made you white and pure. And your defects will be seen very far away. You're not a person who's walking around in the dusty streets with a colorful cloth. You are white cloth. Allah has made you white cloth. And if a stain comes on you, then very far away the stain will be seen. A white cloth, you need to be careful that no mud splash should come onto your body. No spots. Nothing at all. No mud, no dust. That this doesn't mean we take our imam off and trim our beards. Oh, we're forced to do this. No, that's worse. But the deen, Islam that's given to us, improve it, demonstrate it, practice it. Not decrease it after speaking nonsense. Oh, I'm not this, I'm not that. I'm not this person's child. I'm not this, etc. I don't have a blood lineage. They're rather going into nonsense talk. The Allah Ta'ala has given you the deen, the practice, the sunnah. Increase it, the practice. Increase it. Strengthen it. And consider that this is the reward Allah has given to us. Everything Allah has given reward, isn't it? For salah, fasting, etc. And look at the reward Allah has kept aside for those who control the anger. So I'll tell you the hadith in Mishkat. Inshallah, you'll feel very revived and happy. And anger won't even come to you, the fadl of Allah. Whoever you are angry with, love that person and see the difference that will come. If you're angry with somebody, then buy a chocolate for him and say, hey, here's a chocolate for you. Because today I was angry with you, so I want to give you a chocolate. And smile at that person, a slight smile, and give. And see how much enjoyment you'll get. I swear by Allah, you'll get great enjoyment in this action. So much enjoyment. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that when you become angry, change your position to a better position. Better sitting, better posture. There's somebody, for example, he spoke nonsense. Why don't you make meat? Why don't you do this? And for example, I'm doing this and I'm working out. What will be the answer you give to the person? No, yaar. I'm giving you 2 pieces of meat extra from my side so you can go and enjoy and cook and eat. And subhanAllah. So the position is flipped upside down. It's not difficult to do this. It's not difficult. The Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us a deen and a hukum and order. I swear by Allah, it's very simple and easy, the deen of Islam. I swear by Allah, it's extremely easy to practice Islam. Anger? Is it difficult to suppress anger? Shaitani quality. Shaitani characteristic. Just say, I'm not going to do this again. People say, oh, beghairat, he's quiet now, he's not doing this. He's not beghairat. Mashallah, he becomes very shameful. Yes, shame. We say a person, oh, I don't want to leave the sins, because people think that, oh, what am I doing? And that for example, if I don't show anger from now on, shaitan, he's trying to advise me, cajole me to be angry, my friends, my colleagues. If Allah is elevating somebody, then you think you'll be demoted? And your name will be rubbed in the dust? No, the person who criticizes you will be below you many times over. So never fall into this trap that, oh, I'll become angry, I'll demonstrate anger, I'll become higher and a chaudhry. That subhanAllah, if you want people to succumb to you, be attracted to you and come to you for help, and they'll come close to you and benefit from your qualities and characteristics. Even a child will be able to pull off the benefit from the tree. So what does this mean? You'll become such a human being that children will get fares and blessings from your company. Young children, they'll come. So one, they'll come to your gathering and get fares and blessings. I'm listening. What beautiful nasihas this person gives to me. And their hearts will open up and unravel, subhanAllah. Because the tree, when it stoops down, you'll stoop down the branches and the fruits, and the children, they'll break off the fruits and the benefits from the tree. Oh, go, let's say salam to him. Maybe he'll give us nasiha. Let's sit with him today. Become a human being like this. That you're trying to become stubborn and staunch and become chaudhry, but then a person's stuck and his chest is stuck in that position. Now, always, is he happy or is he upset? We can't see. He doesn't smile. He doesn't frown. He's in between. We don't know what this person is. But when there's no anger, then the bulb comes out. There's light and ajeeb noor and smile is always on that person's face. SubhanAllah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give two rewards. One in the dunya, the person will give reward, and one is in the akhirah. Set aside for the akhirah. The person who suppresses and controls his anger in the world and doesn't get angry with anybody else, the worldly reward, Allah says, I promise, hadith of Mishkat. Long, lengthy hadith, and I can't remember the whole length of it. I remember it, but I'll just tell you the crux of it. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to such a person who ends his anger and removes his anger from his life, Allah ta'ala says that I will fill that person's heart with Iman. SubhanAllah. I will fill that person's heart with Iman. Iman is such a great, great resource that there's no bowl that can accommodate Iman. Iman cannot be housed in any container. SubhanAllah. And the word that comes out of a Muslim's mouth with Iman, SubhanAllah. And it's one word with a person who has Iman and recites this, then the scale of the Mizan is so big that from the west to the east it's that big or bigger. And the example is that nothing can fill the scale of Mizan from all of the deeds of the mu'min, but the person who says SubhanAllah, he fills up, SubhanAllah, that scale. So a person who has the strength, and even if he says this word and this scale will topple and get weighty, then imagine the value of his iman in the hereafter. SubhanAllah. Only a person, he will see in Jannah Paradise that what is the status of my iman. Nowhere in the world will we say, there's one place Allah has kept aside, that your heart will be filled with iman. And imagine the reward further up. Then that is the person. What will he be? He'll be like Hazrat Ali Murtaza rahmatullah alayhi, my Shaykh, my Hazrat Fazal al-Qurayshi, Hazrat Usman Damani. In their hearts were filled. Their bowls of their hearts were filled. And how? What filled their hearts? Say it loudly. Allah Ta'ala filled their hearts. Why? So that they never became angry. They never became angry after that. MashaAllah. They smiled. I never saw my Hazrat in anger. And we were afraid that we don't want him to become angry with us. Our body would tremble in front of Hazrat Sahib. We were afraid of his Jalal and his passion. That if he says something to us and we get told off, that we'll be destroyed. That we will have lost everything. And never, for example, with the fadl of Allah, did we make a mistake in that, with that regard. I never played a game with Hazrat. As soon as Hazrat took my hand, then I finished off and I eliminated the doubts and wrong actions. I said, beware, there has to be adab and extreme adab and manners in front of Hazrat Sahib. Just like the Sahaba Ikram had the communication with the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They are great elevated people, the Walis of Allah, and they take you straight to the connection with Allah. Allah Ta'ala stated that if they raise their hands, then I accept their du'as, I listen to their du'as, the Wali of Allah. Whatever a person wants, Allah says, I hear, because these are my beloved servants, I hear their du'as. And from their mouths, if they say some words, Allah says, I listen. If out of love they do dua for somebody, straightway I listen to that dua. SubhanAllah. Then for example, why do we dishonor people, disrespect people, and do wrong, and do drama with people who are good, pious? Allah, may Allah save us from this. All our life long, I was careful and cautious. I've come in front of the Wali of Allah. That's it, I'm stuck now. That's it. So it's very difficult here. I have to learn and improve. That's my objective. Ihtiyat, ihtiyat, caution, caution over a caution over a caution. That's when a person becomes capable and they attain something, achieve something. What's the point saying, I'll do it some other time, I'll do it in the future? The question doesn't arise. That person, for example, how many years I spent with Hazrat Sahib, never did I imagine Makkah, Medina, outside, inside, home, or in the hujra, in the room, etc. One thing on the mind, khawf, fear of Allah, khawf, fear of Allah. And such love of Hazrat Sahib, subhanallah, that Hazrat Sahib wouldn't eat, he would feed others first. Subhanallah, he was such a fakir, such a fakir. They had kashf that I'll buy honey and I'm in my home. Look at this, look at the shafqat, the love of the walis of Allah. Shafqat, the love and the sincerity. And in our home there was a tree and there was a worker, a person who was working there, and he would climb up the tree and then he'd grab hold of the and it easily lower the fruit from the tree and give us the honey. And I like that. I said, please, can you give me this? Can you give this to me? He said, no, not me, not me. And I was trying to do the right thing, but maybe not in the in the correct way. I said, okay, fine, I'll come back to you. And when I used to, for example, jokingly with him, order him, and he wouldn't listen. So I got to Hazrat. I arrived to Hazrat and I went and gave salam. And Hazrat went inside, and such a big bottle, a bottle still there, I've still got it. And Hazrat gave a fresh bottle of honey. Subhanallah, Hazrat Sahib said, Faruqi Sahib, you like honey? I've got some honey, I thought I'll give it to you. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Look at the shafqat, the love of the wali of Allah. Tell me. So brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does He do? He fills the heart with what? Yes. With the blessings. And He's going to say, if a person's angry, then there's a la'anat, the curse, the child, the wife, the person at home. Oh, he came, he was disrespectful, mocking and swearing at us, battamiz, disrespectful. Look at his face, he's got imama and the beard, and he's consumed our money, eaten our money. Is this good? Or if the person says, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, he's beautiful, he looks like an angel, and we enjoy it when he comes, we enjoy it. Why? Because his heart is filled with what? With iman. Allah says, I fill the heart with iman. That's the conclusion. With the noor of iman, the noor of belief, Allah Ta'ala fills that heart. On the day of judgment, Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala, what will He state? Yes. So Allah Ta'ala says, I fill the hearts with iman, and I fill the hearts with contentment, sakina. Allahu Akbar. And you'll get such a feeling of sleep that, for example, you know a lot of people who take the sleeping tablets to go to sleep, I swear by Allah, you'll have nice sleep. A person enjoys life so much, sakina, sukoon, peace, satisfaction, because he's never been angry on anybody. No anger has come, no anger, no hasad, no envy, no jealousy, no take from anyone, no give to anyone. They're from Allah, the reward. Allah Ta'ala fills the heart with sukoon. Never on his forehead will you see the creases. The creases or the crinkles, no, no, beautiful forehead, and noor is coming from that person's forehead. Allah, we're always happy, and we remember, oh, did I swear that person, or this person, did I say this person? And the person's always got an issue, he's like an idol, like an idol. So, Allah Ta'ala says, that I fill that person's heart with iman, that you cannot find anywhere else. The amount of iman I put in there, you can never account for it, and you're going to come back to me, aren't you? Then Allah says, what will I do? That all the makhluk, the creation will be stood there. I'll say, come, this person's coming, come, listen, witness. And they'll say, why is Allah waking this person up? Come, come. Allah will say that, look, I opened the door for you, it's your selection, I will give to you. Say, subhanallah, Allah. In front of everybody. Allah says, it's your selection, it's me who will give to you. And if the selection of Allah, imagine the reward that person's getting, the reward. So, subhanAllah, the door opens, the window opens, Allah's giving to him. Allah says, look, these are the hoors, the maidens of Jannah, select which hoor would you like, would you like to select? Tell me, what a hoor it will be, that Allah will have selected the hoors for that person. And He'll select from those hoors after His presence, give me this hoor, I like this hoor. SubhanAllah. That hoor will not pester you, inshallah. She'll be a hoor of Jannah. SubhanAllah. So do we all promise, all of us? True promise? Anger? Eliminate. We will not get angry with anybody else. People can be angry with us, but we won't return that favor. We won't get angry. If anger comes, what we'll do? We'll do wudu. That's one method to cool it down. And the best tariqah, because it comes from shaitan. Shaitan brings anger to us. And there's one cure for shaitan, the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah. Start doing dhikr. As soon as you get angry, stop being angry and start doing dhikr. Whatever kalma comes onto your mouth, start to recite it. Alhamdulillah. Whatever kalma comes, and that will start dhikr. correctly in a nice way, then we'll drink some water. Sit down. If you sat down, you're angry, then lie down for a little while and the anger will disappear. Yes, it happens, isn't it? Sometimes there's an attack, shaitan, nafs, etc. Straight away do these three or four actions, straight away. And the anger will disappear. You won't need to seek revenge with anyone. You won't be in their state of anger. Nor will you decide in anger. Remember this. Never make a decision in the state of anger. I'll leave home. I'll say this. I'll do that. I'll leave this person, that person. These are all in the state of anger. Don't make any decision with a cool heart. Say, oh, are you going to leave? No. I'll stay here. I'll stay here. I won't leave. That with humility, person should make decisions with being calm and cool down. Never make decisions out of when in a state of anger, because this will be the decision of shaitan. But if you wait for love and ease, then this will be the decision of Ar-Rahman, Allah. And these two things are opposite. Let's do dua. That Allah Ta'ala says this lanat, this wretched action of anger, is a very bad effect. May Allah Ta'ala give us sakina in our heart, in our homes, and in our places of worship. Ameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المرضى ياسين عليه اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهله كما صلينا على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد يا قاضي الحاجات يا قاضي الحاجات يا قاضي الحاجات يا قاضي المهمات يا قاضي المهمات يا قاضي المهمات يا داوي البليات 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 يا قاضي الحاجات يا داوي البليات يا حل المشكلات يا حل المشكلات يا حل المشكلات يا منزل البركات يا منزل البركات يا منزل البركات يا رفيع الدرجات 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 يا خير الرازقين يا خير الرازقين يا خير الرازقين يا خير الرازقين يا خير الناصرين يا خير الناصرين يا خير الناصرين يا شافي الأمراض يا شافي الأمراض يا شافي الأمراض يا شافي الأمراض يا مجيب الدعوات يا مجيب الدعوات يا مجيب الدعوات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم آمين اللهم آمين اللهم آمين اللهم آمين اللهم آمين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ارحمهما kamalam bayani sagira allahumma dambirhumma kamalam bayani sagira allahumma ighfir lana wale wale dayana wa ustadayana wa mashayikhina wa jami'al mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat allah ya mu'min wal amwat bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin amin.